Happy to welcome in our guest, 5th District Supervisor Linda Hopkins. Good morning, Supervisor Hopkins.
Good morning, Pat. How are you today?
I am well. I read your Facebook post last night, something that you do quite commonly. This one, though, was a little bit different. It was deeply personal, for one thing, and called out the Deputy Sheriff's Association lead, Mike Vail, in this Facebook post. Tell us what it's all about to you.
You know, I just have been thinking ever since reading the article in the Press Democrat about some words that Mike Vail had said surrounding domestic violence. And he called people hardened criminals and said that you need a gun and a badge to address those kinds of situations. And it's something that I experienced personally growing up. And the San Diego Police Department would come knocking at my door. And I have to say that I feel incredibly lucky and privileged that they came more as social workers than as law enforcement officers. You know, they came in, they treated us with respect, they referred us to resources, and I've just been thinking a lot about the different experiences of people and law enforcement, you know, and how I, as a white person in a white family in a middle-class neighborhood, might have been treated differently than someone who was in a more working-class family or a family of color. And so it was just something that I wanted to share. I think it's so important that we think about How can we make those upstream investments in crime prevention? How do we stop things before they get to a point where you need law enforcement intervention? And there's a lot of conversations around defunding the police, and I think that it's important to really look at what is that movement calling for? It's calling for an appropriate response to a particular problem. So if we have a mental health issue, you know, that was really fundamentally my father's problem. He suffered from bipolar disorder. The response to that should be mental health support and mental health treatment, right? But unfortunately, in today's society, we often let problems snowball until they wind up in the hands of law enforcement. Our largest mental health institution in Sonoma County is the jail. How do we change that?
And this is, you know, you bring up what has been brought up since the George Floyd protests have begun, Supervisor Hopkins, and that is the systemic nature of this racism, and that the causes and effects that you're talking about are really, really intrinsic to a lot of our neighborhoods and oftentimes intrinsic on the participants and the victims and the police departments too. So the question is, as you raise it, how do we treat that or dissemble that kind of systemic racism in a way that can be effective today or tomorrow?
I mean, I strongly believe that we need to, I mean, first of all, as white people, we need to listen, right? We need to hear the experiences of people of color and recognize what they are going through. And then, you know, ask them, what kinds of changes do you think we need to implement in order to address these concerns? Some of the things that I've been hearing and things that I very much support are investing robustly in social services, right? It shouldn't wind up in the hands of law enforcement if it's a mental health call. It should wind up in the hands of mental health professionals. You know, similarly, homelessness, you know, while it winds up sort of snowballing into 911 calls or complaints about, you know, quality of life, nuisance type concerns, fundamentally law enforcement is the wrong answer to that problem as well. So how can we make sure that we have, you know, street teams of wraparound supportive services to go out and support folks and get them the kind of help that they need? And then how do we also make sure that we're building out the system on the other side, right? The actual infrastructure, the affordable housing, the permanent supportive housing that can also help level the playing field.
And as a political official, Supervisor Hopkins, you also have to think within the context of those teams being sent out as opposed to law enforcement about the potential liability there is, for example, for the county of Sonoma.
Absolutely. But, you know, it's interesting when you hear from social workers and they often go into very fraught conversations and fraught situations. But the way that they approach it is through support and through, I'm here as a resource. I'm here as a confidant. I'm here to build a relationship with you. I'm here to help you. And it's amazing how much reaching out to someone like that changes the entire tenor of the dialogue. And I think that another thing you have to acknowledge is that, you know, if a law enforcement officer walks into a situation that is fraught and you have, you know, say a person of color who has had negative experiences with law enforcement in the past, then that's sort of unearthing all of that trauma for them as well. And it tends to escalate the situation more just because of the emotions that are present. Because we are part of this systemic oppression. I actually watched 13th, and if anyone has not seen that, I highly recommend it. It's a Netflix documentary about the 13th Amendment, but the focus is really on mass incarceration and essentially the exception that was given to slavery, that you could actually keep people, you know, in servitude as a punishment for crime, and the way that, you know, our system has evolved to just lock people up as opposed to actually addressing the root of the challenge that's being faced, which, you know, may be poverty, maybe mental health, maybe addiction. But, you know, again, law enforcement is not the intervention for those challenges.
And going back to the domestic violence call and the option of having mental health professionals answer that call, then the question becomes, Supervisor Hopkins, how does somebody like a dispatcher, for example, discern about which situations call for law enforcement and which do not?
That's a great question, and something that I need to educate myself more on. But I will say that dispatchers, you know, regularly screen calls, right, and route them and give them, you know, particular classifications. I've also heard from some proposals from some members of the community saying, you know, it's not about removing law enforcement from the equation entirely, but it's about leading with the social services and having law enforcement back up instead of the other way around, which is what often happens, right? You know, another thing that's worth noting is that I was in a conversation with our public defender the other day. We're one of the few counties, as I understand it, in the state of California that doesn't have social workers as part of the public defender's office. And it's just because they've been operating on a shoestring budget for years upon years, you know, and Kathleen Posey has asked for those social workers. But that, again, is a place where how do we bring the services to people to, you know, try to support them getting out of the criminal justice system and back into society and giving them the support that they need to succeed?
Yeah, and how do you accomplish all of that, or at least begin all of that process when you are under the confines of a pandemic affected budget? You know, it's talk about one of the worst times to try to expand in these areas financially. Wow.
Absolutely. And as you know, this comes on the heels of not just the pandemic, but the 2017 fires, the 2019 floods, the 2019 fire. And, you know, all of those things have had substantial costs and unfortunately, you know, also associated with a decline in revenue for local government. So at the time that we most need our services, we're also faced with a very, you know, severe budget that we're staring down.
Yeah, it's a challenging time, but obviously a time when the questions that you raise must be raised and must be, you know, at least in the beginning stages of crafting some answers about it. It is 8:27 at KSRO, and as I understand the PD article this morning, Supervisor Hopkins, the Joe Redotta Trail is going to be closed for a while. And it sounds like from the PD article that one of the reasons for that is the fear that the homeless that have, some of which have been moved from out of the underpasses in Santa Rosa, might end up there again.
Yeah, you know, this is something that it shows that what we're doing right now is we're putting Band-Aids on homelessness, right? We're not addressing the root cause. And so the fact that we have, you know, one level of government, right, the county sort of doing maintenance and closing the Joe Redotta Trail in part to try to prevent the formation of another homeless encampment, at the same time that we have another level of government, right, clearing encampments, which would be the city of Santa Rosa, under the, you know, overpasses, we have got to work together more collaboratively. We have got to get policies that apply countywide, regardless of what jurisdiction you're in. And we've got to get a robust safety net, going back to the safety net, to make sure that we have the resources to address those encampments before they take root into, you know, what we saw in January and late last year on the Joe Redotta Trail, what we saw and, you know, under those overpasses, and what I understand is now happening at other parks within the city of Santa Rosa as well.
Yep. Another thing to pay attention to. It is a thoughtful and thought-provoking post from Supervisor Linda Hopkins on her Facebook page last night. Check it out. Supervisor Hopkins, thanks for being here.
Have a wonderful day, Pat. Thanks and take care.